Welcome, everyone, into the latest JSOnline.com and PackersNews.com Packers podcast. I'm Jim Ozarski, along with Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, here live at Lambeau Field, Tom.
Yeah.
In advance of a big one in Dallas.
That's right. We're heading back to Dallas. Been there so many times over the years, and this will be an interesting game. This is what I would call, you know, this two-game set in the NFC East is, to me, kind of a litmus test for where the Packers are in the first quarter of the season.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's this game already has some long-range implications if the Packers believe they are a NFC contender, yep. You know. So there's some tiebreaker, some home field type stuff there. And, you know, this is for as – while I would lean Carson Wentz over Dak Prescott, I would say Dallas is probably on par with Philadelphia in terms of an overall solid team. You know, unlike the Packers played the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, you know, I want to find out a little bit more about Dallas. Their three victories, you know, really their three victories are fairly unimpressive given the caliber of talent they played against. And so then they went to New Orleans and played a really good team without its quarterback and didn't do that well. So I would say this is going to be another – this is a litmus test for them as well. I think this is 2-3-1 teams that are trying to figure out, okay, are we as good as our record?
That's a good point. I mean, it's – you know, you got to win what's in front of you, right? You got to play your schedule. And Dallas did get off to a hot start. I guess – you know, Tom, the first question I'd have, and I know there's questions on this Packers offense, as there has been, is can Mike Pettine in any way and his personnel sort of replicate what, you know, was it Bruce Allen down in New Orleans was able to do against the offense? And look, Kellen Moore's a first-year coordinator. I don't know what he's going to be. But I do know if you call the ball to be handed off to Ezekiel Elliott, not a whole lot of special calls need to be made with that. So I'm curious, do the Packers have what New Orleans had on the road to sort of fix a bruised run game right now?
Well, Mike Pettine better come up with something because his run defense has been atrocious through the first through the last three games. And that can't go on, especially playing a team like Philadelphia. I think what impressed me about New Orleans was their front whipped Dallas's really good offensive line at the line of scrimmage, and that's what's got to happen for the Packers. Now, the Packers like to think they have a pretty good front with, you know, the two Smiths and Kenny Clark in the middle, and, you know, they need Montrevious Adams back, and they need to win against those guys. The other thing that really impressed me was how much New Orleans just flew to the ball. Anytime Ezekiel Elliott had the ball, there were like seven guys, eight guys headed his way. And they were really good at containing him. And then what they did was in the pass game, they made Zach basically did what, you know, Tremont Williams was talking about with Chicago was, okay, you beat us. We're going to drop eight guys and you beat us. And I think that's not a bad strategy for the Packers, is go ahead and take their pass game out. But on the early downs, boy, you got to sell out and stop Ezekiel Elliott. You cannot let him run for 176 yards or something like that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the Packers have some depth issues right now at corner. Tony Brown has a hamstring. Kevin King has a groin. Neither practiced on Wednesday. My guess is soft tissue leg injuries to fast guys means, I mean, maybe they can go, but you'd imagine they're limited. However, Dallas has Amari Cooper and then Randall Cobb and then, you know, Jason Witten.
Well, watch out for Michael Gallup if he plays. That guy is sort of their secret weapon.
Right.
And he's been hurt. if that guy is healthy, then their passing game is considerably better. They have to, I mean, he's a big play guy. And I think he's coming back this week. It sounds like he's coming back. I think they're being kind of coy about it. But if he is, then there's a little more pressure. How do you play that? What do you do with Randall Cobb in the middle, and what do you do with Gallup on the outside?
Right. But can't you, I mean, Amari, I don't know. I guess where I was going with that, Tom, was not that you can't respect those players, but you would think Alexander can handle Cooper. Randall Cobb, Packers fans, the team knows him enough. He's not going to catch 15 balls for 150. I mean, he's not that guy.
Gonna dominate.
Jason Witten is essentially Kyle Rudolph now. I mean, he's 37 years old. He's still getting four catches a game. So yeah, maybe Gallup is a big play threat. But I guess Mike Pettin can sell out the run. Right? Maybe they can play more traditional 4-3 or 3-4 base.
Yeah, they need to do that. They need to have B.J. Goodson on the field more than seven snaps. And they couldn't do that last week because Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert were too difficult for B.J. Goodson and Blake Martinez to cover. So they had to play some nickel. And now with Jason Witten, I'd roll the dice. I mean, he's... can still, you know, he's like
available.
Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, he's
Jimmy
available,
Graham.
Right.
You know, he's over the hill, but he can still make some catches for you. And but, you know, this is one of those games where you play base defense the entire way, you know, and then hope that you can get them into third and long or third and six and more, and then you can, you know, sick the dogs on them. And bring some blitzes and get some pass rush on them.
And that would be, you'd be looking at the left side of the Cowboys line, all-pro left tackle Tyron Smith, sprained ankle against the Saints. He is out. That's already known. You know, but again, so there's going to be a hole there when Dak Prescott drops back to pass. However, he's been very effective in play action. Mm-hmm. Why? Because Ezekiel Elliott is the number five rushing offense in the league. Right. They average 4.9 a carry. The Packers give up 5 per carry. Yeah. So I think and that was statistically the second worst game Ezekiel Elliott's ever had when he's had at least 15 carries. So there's a part of me that thinks going home, yeah, you're feeling a little salty, and you know that offensive line is going to be challenged, and that's just something. I mean, maybe you'll get your occasional PA deep shot early, but I just think it's a Zeke show, and can the Packers, you know, that can they have fixed it? If not fixed it, Tom, like duct taped it in a 10-day period?
Well, I think they can. I think they can play better run defense, and I think they will. I think there's going to be a much more of an emphasis over this 10 days and figuring out exactly what they need to do to stop the run. Now, they're not going to stop Ezekiel Elliott. I don't even think they have to hold him under 100 yards, but they got to keep him from breaking off 30-yard runs. If it takes him 20 carries to get 110 yards, then I think they're okay. You know, averaging 5 yards isn't terrible. It's if he has 7 carries for 14 yards and then two more carries for, you know, 120
right.
yards, that's
yeah.
when they're in big trouble. So Dallas's offensive line has not been playing as well as advertised, and I really want to watch the Kenny Clark versus Travis Frederick matchup, because I think that's one where Kenny Clark needs to really shine and blow things up in the middle.
That's a great point. That's a really good litmus test for Clark, in the sense that through the first 3 weeks he played rookie centers or centers who hadn't really played the position at the NFL level, in James Daniel and Chicago.
Yeah.
And then last week, I mean, Jason Kelce, despite his age, is one of the best in football.
Yeah.
And you just didn't see you. I mean, there were no sacks, and there was some pressure on Wentz. But I guess if Kenny Clark is going to be that guy, he needs to win, right, against centers of this caliber.
Yeah, you have to remember that he also was facing Brandon Brooks.
There's that too. It's definitely not a vacuum. It's not one-on-one.
That's two really good offensive linemen. And I'm not making excuses for him. He can play better. The entire defensive line played badly. Yeah. Maybe except for Kingsley Keke in his 7 snaps played pretty decent. But nobody played really well. But they were very sloppy. Going back over the tape, there were just times when they were just out of gaps. They were taking chances, and it wasn't what you would say you need to. You definitely, you know, against a Philadelphia team, you'd say to yourself, well, maybe we could get away with that, and they didn't. But you definitely can't get away with that kind of play against Dallas. So they're going to have to be a lot more disciplined up front. And then, yeah, Kenny Clark has to win. I mean, he's got to win some matchups here.
What's interesting about that, Tom, do you think those sort of fundamental breakdowns, which we didn't really talk about the first 3 weeks, were because for the first time they weren't playing with a lead the entire game, they weren't turning the ball over or bringing the quarterback to the ground? Do you think that was maybe a situation where for the first time they were stressed to a way that they hadn't been, and then you saw some looseness in fundamental? Maybe we can't answer that until they experience it again, but I'm sort of curious if that was maybe a symptom of not being able to just say, hey, we're up 2 scores, pin the ears back, go get quarterback.
I think they faced a really good offense and a good game plan, a good play-action game plan that slowed them down. I think Doug Peterson did so many good things, recognized so many of the opportunities there are in against a Mike Patton defense, and exploited most of them. They made some nice stops. You know, Kevin King did a really nice job on Alshon Jeffrey. But every time they needed a big play, they were able, you know, a key first third down or something like that, they were able to make it. And they, in some cases, had the Packers confused with some of the things they threw at them. So that can't happen this week. Now, Doug Peterson will do that to people. I mean, he's that good of a coordinator. The question is, so with this team now, it's a little less, there's play action and stuff, but it's a little less razzle-dazzle. They're going to more or less just pound you. You know, they'll have different kinds of running plays, but they're gonna make you defend the run first.
Right. B.J. Goodson, who's game-planned and played against the Cowboys a few times as a member of the Giants, he basically kind of smiled and he said, even with Kellen Moore, they just do what they do.
Yeah.
When you've got that group up front and Ezekiel Elliott, you hand it off.
Yes.
And then and I think maybe the difference, obviously, that maybe an edge to the Packers is I don't think Dak Prescott is in the same class as Carson Wentz as a thrower. I don't think the receiving core, even if Gallup is healthy, is not in the same class either. When you factor in the athletic tight ends that create mismatches. Mm-hmm. And Kellen Moore is not Doug Peterson. Jason Garrett and Kellen Moore together are not Doug Peterson. So I don't know if I'm sure they'll have a script, but I don't think you're right. The Packers are going to see the same sort of game planning proficiency.
Well, they are not going to see sort of the intricacies. I mean, their offense, like, they do rely on some play action, but again, I could just keep saying Ezekiel Elliott's the number one thing, and if they get him going, then everything works off of that. And if you don't get him going, like what happened against New Orleans, then you won a pretty good part of the battle. And so they're going to beat you with their offensive line, and they're going to beat you with Ezekiel Elliott. And then if they can't do that, then, you know, then they'll rely a little bit more on Zach Prescott.
Yeah, we'll see if this defense can travel again. I mean, that week one game was a heck of a performance in Chicago. They've been home for a bit now, so we'll...
I think they'll come to play. Yeah. I think they'll show up. I don't know if they can do it for all 60 minutes, especially if the injuries start to take place or start to wear them down a little bit. But I do think they'll put up a good show. It's just, I think it's going to be whether you can marry the defense and the offense. This is not a team that can win with just defense the entire year. It's just not going to happen. So they got to have something on offense to complement their defense.
Well, if you, I don't know about you, Tom, but I do like winning. And Wednesday night wins this fall at Pottawatomie. Our friends over at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino, play with your club card starting October 1st. A few days into that now, for your share of $250,000 in total prizes. More at paysbig.com/fallwins, which, of course, the Packers hope they can continue to do. And we'll switch to the offense here, Tom. You really broke down the ineffective run game to date. I mean, even with Aaron Rodgers, that's supposed to be the foundational identity of this team to get it working. And Aaron Jones, less than 2 yards a carry, two consecutive weeks. They had to go pass heavy against the Packers against the Eagles, and while it did work to some degree, at the end of the day, six throws from the one and the seven resulted in no points. So I guess now with Davante Adams likely to miss this week with turf toe, where are they kind of at right now offensively? I mean, there were some improvements that you saw Thursday in Philadelphia, but with some injuries now, it's
I think they're in trouble. Yeah. That's where they're at. I think without Davante Adams, they're a different offense. The only way they can survive without Davante Adams, and let's say even if he does play, he's limited and he can't possibly be as good with a turf toe. I think that thing's going to dog him for a while. Then it's on Aaron Rodgers to spread the ball around and throw. You no longer have to worry about getting the ball to Davante Adams. Now you have to get the ball to the guy who's open, to the guy who's got man-to-man coverage. You have to make the decisions based on the offense and not based on the guy. Because I think in most cases, in every case, there's nobody who's just a go-to guy that you're going to want to get the ball to every down. So I think this is a really good test for Rodgers to run the offense and see if LaFleur can scheme in such a way that they can get some guys open who aren't, you know, Davante Adams. That's kind of what they're going to have to do to win. And then running the ball, that's just, I don't know when that's going to come around, if it does. But it has shown no signs of coming around so far. Now, maybe it's a process of getting that wide zone to work, but it's not working now.
Yeah, and I'll flip back to the passing game, but I mean, Dallas has been a very good defense the last year and a quarter. Number 7 overall in the league, number 3 in points allowed, 12th against the run. So Rod Marinelli has the coordinator title down there. Obviously, Packers fans real familiar with Rod, his time in Detroit for whatever success or lack thereof they had. Very well-respected line coach. Chris Richard is actually the one who calls the plays. Mm-hmm. Why is that name familiar to Packers fans? He was in Seattle, coached up the Legion of Boom, was DC there. He's very familiar with Aaron Rodgers. Ton of athletes on that defense, especially that front 7. Now, DeMarcus Lawrence is dealing with a heel bruise, Tom. I would still expect that he plays. Robert Quinn, 3 sacks in his 2 games back from suspension. Sean Lee, Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith. I mean, you're talking about a super athletic side-to-side linebacking core that even Alvin Kamara couldn't shake Leighton Vander Esch movements. And Kamara is probably one of the best, if not the best, after contact runner in this league. On paper, on tape, it doesn't seem like this is the week Aaron Jones in this run game get it figured out, is it?
It's going to be tough. Those linebackers, as you said, are really athletic. And I think the Packers had a lot of problems with Philadelphia's linebackers, who just kept shooting gaps and making it really hard for the offensive linemen as they're moving laterally, have to make decisions on who's going to pick up who. And if someone starts to shoot a gap, one of the offensive linemen has to pick them up, and then the rest of the offensive linemen have to adjust. And they're not at that point where they're doing that very well. And so I expect Dallas to be really aggressive in the run. I expect them to really attack the run game. If Green Bay doesn't run the ball right away or have some trouble, then you might see them back off a little bit and then just play coverage and make Rodgers try to go up and down the field like Philadelphia did. You know, eventually Philadelphia just said, okay, you're behind now. We're just going to play zone coverage and you try to beat us. And he couldn't. You know, he threw for 422 yards or whatever, but he couldn't get it in the end zone.
Right.
And that's ultimately what Jim Schwartz was saying, was we think you might be able to move the ball on us, but we don't think you're going to be able to score.
Right. And so some good news for the Packers offensive line. Right tackle Brian Bulaga did begin practicing this week, even on a limited basis, Wednesday with a shoulder. That obviously bodes well going into Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they don't really want to roll out Alex Light on the road or move Billy Turner. So is a potential adjustment here for Matt LaFleur, Tom, a shift to some more inside zone or some trap block? I mean, I guess that's the thing. If you feel this isn't working yet, not that you abandon your core principle, the thing you've been practicing for camp, but you also know this offensive line is well versed in these other sorts of zone blocking schemes that they ran for years under mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy. Is that a potential adjustment, or are you too far down the road and you just got to try to make do with what you've been trying?
Well, it's a conundrum because you're not executing the wide zone very well, but do you give up on it four games into the year, or do you just keep taking your lumps and then eventually counting on it coming through? Or do you say, okay, we're a better inside zone team, we should run more? I mean, they run inside zones.
Right.
They do. But the basis of their whole play action game is mostly off of wide zone stuff, where you get the linemen running and then Rodgers bootlegs off of it. That hasn't worked. Seems like defensive ends are just sitting there waiting for him half the time, you know, when he tries to bootleg. So I don't think there's a clear-cut answer with that. I guess I would continue to run the wide zone because that's what you train for all summer, and you have to give it a little bit more of a chance. It's just, I don't know if you can give up on it this early. And if you do, then you're sending a message to your team that, oh, my scheme doesn't work.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
It's not working, or you guys can't make it work. So I the run game just perplexes me. I don't have an answer for it because it's one of those things where, you know, they've got some people up front. They got a good running back. But whatever they've been doing hasn't been working, and I don't know if it's because other teams have figured it out or if it's because they just stink at it.
Right.
And I think we'll know that as the season goes on, but right now their run game is in limbo.
Can for what it's worth, David Bakhtiari has essentially said the same exact thing you said. He's like, if I knew the answer, I would have said it to the coaches already and we'd be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Can Dexter, before he go to the passing game here, can Dexter Williams provide anything on Sunday. It looks like he's going to be, you know, up for Jamal Williams. We haven't seen him since the preseason. He had his issues, pass protection, receiving. However, he is a more dynamic runner than Jamal Williams. We've talked about for weeks now, Tom, about playmakers, guys who can run. Dexter Williams can run. Is there any thought that he could do anything to help in probably just the few snaps he'll get?
So this is my thought on Dexter Williams. I thought through the first 3 weeks of camp, he was kind of a disaster. He was dropping passes. He wasn't picking up the right guy. He was not decisive in the wide zone. And then all of a sudden in week 4 or 5 of camp, it started to kind of click in. And in that last preseason game, he played pretty well. He needed one more preseason game. You know, I joked with the running backs coach Ben Sermons about that, because that was right about the time things were starting to click in. And now then the season starts and all of a sudden he's Mr. Scout Team back. Yeah. And he's not running their system. So that was kind of a tough break for him. But this is what I would do. I mentioned this to Olivia on the Facebook Live yesterday, is just create a package for him, you know, 12 plays, something, you know, very specific of what he's capable of running, you know, the type of plays he can run, and make sure that he can do those things and then get him on the field. And because I agree with you, I think the guy has some ability. When you see him cut and you see him get through the holes, you can see why they liked him. You can see why he had all those big long runs. Yeah. At Notre Dame, because he's really I don't really know what it is. He's not a 4.4 guy.
Right.
He's not like a physical specimen, but I think he just has something.
Football speed, as I like to say,
football
right?
Football speed, yeah. Yeah, where when he makes a cut, it's really a cut, and he gets upfield in a hurry. So I am kind of interested to see him play and whether he could add something. So I think he will play, and I think the smart thing is to just create a package. Yeah. That he just studies and knows, and he comes on the field, and there's no way he blows it.
So you mentioned something interesting about the pass game where, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have to worry about getting the ball to Davante Adams and just worry about the offense. Now, what's funny about that to me, Tom, was the first 3 weeks – we were saying Adams wasn't involved enough. I mean, he was getting 4 targets, 6 mm-hmm. targets. You know, and the pass offense had stagnated. So he has the huge game against Philadelphia. They move the ball. Here's the thing. His season total in production, targets, yards, catches, is about almost exactly combined the other 5 receivers on the roster. Mm-hmm. And that includes... And now Kumerow hasn't had anything. Shepard is a blank slate. Lazard hasn't had. So really, it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Allison. Mm-hmm. Now, I agree with you, but when push came to shove, Aaron Rodgers went to Jimmy Graham after Davante Adams went out. Mm-hmm. And this week we heard again, got to get it to Jimmy. Got to get Jimmy early.
Get him in the rhythm.
Get him in the rhythm early. Now, we both agreed Matt LaFleur found some stuff that Jimmy Graham could do, and there was a touchdown, a couple other red zone plays where, you know, he at least was in position.
Yeah.
To make a catch. So are we going to see that first? And could that be a problem if they're trying to force feed a tight end who really is only good at catching, like, 8-yard slants and 6-yard hitches?
Yeah.
To start a game.
I don't think it's a problem. I okay. think it's a good idea. I've said it and I'll maintain it. You know, Jimmy Graham can have a role in their offense as long as they stop fantasizing that he can be the tight end that he was. He, in zone, you know, Philadelphia went into the zone and he just ran these little hooks and they just kept hitting him for, 8-yard gains. And that's fine. That's great. There were a couple times Rodgers missed him on the one where ball he threw to Adams, and the ball was almost intercepted by
Nigel Bradham. Stared down Devontae Adams that entire time, and yet Jimmy Graham kind of cut.
He was running a post, and right. He was wide open. And that happened a couple times with Rodgers. The same was true with the final play with Darius Shepherd, and he throws to Scantling on a slant, and Darius Shepherd's running the opposite route, and he's wide open.
Yeah, it was a pick play that Aaron decided.
Sort of a pick play.
Yeah.
Darius Shepherd described it as that not being the intent of the play, but if it turns out that way, it's okay. But what happened was Malcolm Jenkins, who was on Shepherd, just dropped off, and said, I'm going to double Scantling because that's where the ball is going to go.
And that's what happened.
Right. Shepherd, wound up wide open. Anyway, my point was that, you can do that, but it's got to be with the intent of, okay, you get him started, get him lathered up a little, and then start spreading it around, I just think they have to play within the offense and not, there's nobody to really highlight in this. This is a good game for them to run the offense and see what it can do for them.
And what I'm interested a little bit in, Tom, is, all through camp, they rotated in pretty much, you got to put in Trevor Davis into this too, but this group of receivers would rotate with Rodgers often.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they shrunk that a little bit as the preseason wore on. But all these guys had reps. They've all run this stuff with the starting quarterback. Does that help? They went to Alan Lazard the first play after Adams was hurt. He draws a pass interference.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lazard told me that the reason he was put in is they had run that play 2 weeks prior in practice, and they had executed really well. Obviously, still a positive result with the PI. Lazard feels he still should have caught that ball. Shepherd, but these guys haven't been targeted. When it mattered, he didn't go to them over 20 plays. Valdez-Scantling had one catch, and there was a Lazard PI, but that can it be unevenly distributed where Jimmy Graham gets 15 targets and Valdez-Scantling and Allison,
I don't see that happening. I can't imagine that Jimmy Graham's going to be open 14 out of 15 times. I just think that this is one of those games where, all right, you try to establish the run a little bit, you get Jimmy Graham involved early, but you find out how Dallas is going to play you, and then you attack that, attack what you know. Rodgers is talking about how with Philadelphia they played the same defense over and over again, and it helped them get in a rhythm offensively. But in the end, he had gone to Adams so much in that game that when it came time to throw a touchdown in the clutch moment, he didn't have anybody, and Graham didn't come up with what would have been a really nice catch, but he should have had it. I just think they're, without Adams, they have to find a way to distribute evenly and find the open guy. And whoever's, Rodgers has to be really patient and go through his progressions. I think that's the only way they can win.
Okay, so regardless of result, and it's not like, you want, if you're the Packers for sure, one of the best receivers in football to be out of the game. But he is going to be limited no matter when he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to deal with that throw all season long, or most of the season at least. Can the Packers find something beginning in Dallas with, whether it's Valdez-Scantling, Allison, Lazard, Shepherd, Kumerow, the thing we've been talking about for 4 weeks of who's next? If they want to win Sunday, they have to find out who's next. But I would imagine, the quarterback, I know, Tom, you get tired of the trust questions, but what better way to get that out of the quarterback than he has to throw to them in order to win the game?
Exactly. There's one guy you can trust every single time. And the rest of the guys you don't know for sure. So trust them all. You know, it's like if you can only trust one guy, then and he's not there, then you might as well not throw the ball if you're not going to give him a chance. So here he has to trust them. He has to give them a chance. And if they fail, they fail. Then they'll have to figure something else out. But I think this is a really good game for him to try to establish, find out whether Kumerow can get open consistently, whether Shepard can be good in the slot, whether Lazard can beat some guys, you know, on slants in the end zone again. There's just all kinds of things that he has to find out, and I don't think they've done that to this point.
One last thing with the quarterback, Tom. He said something interesting when asked that question, do you trust these other receivers? Mm-hmm. And or do you have confidence in them? And he turned it around and said, well, I have confidence in myself and how he prepares and how he will play to make them better. And the reason I bring that up is because I guess just in my year plus here, Tom, and people might forget, even with Randall Cobb here last year, how many times we talked about the young receivers, right, mm-hmm. with the rookies and all this other stuff and building trust and confidence. I guess I didn't really hear him ever put it on himself going into a game to say, I will make them better this Sunday. I don't know. I guess I haven't been here for his whole career. I just thought it was an interesting answer to a question he's been asked, quite honestly, for the better part of a year and a half.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to make of that. You know, on the one hand, you can say, oh, that's great. Rodgers is saying, put it on me. I'll carry. I'll make everybody better. But does he really mean that? Does he really... To mean that would mean he has to give those guys chances, and he has to say, all right, I'm going to play at this level. You match it, and here's your opportunity to match it. I used to, and I hate to make comparisons all the time, but I always thought that one of Brett Favre's greatest traits was that's what he said. I'm going to play at this level. You come with me. You know, either show up, I'm going to give you that chance, or don't. And I always thought that players raise their level of play to play with him. And I think that does happen with Rodgers. But he can't be so selective and judgmental about guys. He's got to, Darius Shepard drops a ball, you know, across the middle, he can't freeze him out. He's got to come back to him. He's got to – if Devontae Adams is not there, then he has no choice but to trust these guys and build up their confidence. And that's on him. And he's not going to just play better and then they're going to play better. He has to play better and give them the opportunity to play better.
Yeah.
So that's why I keep saying run the offense and give them a chance and see what happens. And if it doesn't work, then you try something else next week. But I think that's their best way or best chance of winning.
Yeah, it's should be interesting in that way.
Yeah.
You know, a lot.
This is a big game for them, and you know, because they have two home games coming up after this. They can afford to lose it, but it's not ideal. You know, you wanted to come out of that 5 out of 6 games at home, at least 4-2, and 5-1 if you can. They win Sunday, that gives them that chance of 5-1. If they don't win, then all of a sudden you've got to win those next two games at home. So,
no, it'll be a great test for the head coach, the play caller, play designer, along with the quarterback to actually put that stuff together for the first time. And, of course, the defensive coordinator to have to stop the bleeding a little bit with that run game. So, you know, well, Tom, in order for them to win, maybe they should go to Pottawatomie.
Yeah, maybe we all should.
Yeah, we all should. Because remember, you know, already rolling at Pottawatomie Hotel Casino, Wednesday night wins this fall. Play with your club card for your share of $250,000 in total prizes. More at paysbig.com/fallwins. We thank them for helping us put this podcast on.
If I hit that, I'll never have to do another podcast again, right?
Oh,
I don't know about retiring.
You would miss it.
Yeah, that's true.
You'd come back.
That's true.
So thank you all for joining us again, and we will catch you post-game.
Yep, from Dallas.
Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium down in Arlington. So for Tom, I am Jim. We will talk to you next time.